Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota of Brookhaven has been voted best new car dealership in Southwest Mississippi 4 years in a row. Come see the difference. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
I'm Steve Azar, and I'm on the other side of the microphone, meaning I'm asking the questions this time, and oh, have mercy for the airwaves. I spent 20 years in Music City, wrote and made some hits, traveled the world, and then moved my family back to the birthplace of American music and where the magnolia trees prosper. And now every time I put my feet on Mississippi soil, when I'm off the road, well, I'm at peace. On this show, it's all about hearing the stories straight from the mouths of the friends I've made along the way, their journey to success. Heck, there might be someone on, I don't even know, but you know how us Mississippi types are. We tend to take well to new company. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. I'm Steve Azar.
It's just like that muddy river, moving slow. Ain't no worries, it's how life goes, baby. In a Mississippi Minute.
Hey folks, time for another In a Mississippi Minute. I am Steve Azar, reminding you, like I always do, visit Mississippi.org, where the birthplace of America's music, and that says it all, influenced the entire world, probably had a big to do at some point in some indirect way or direct way with today's guest, as he has been tearing up Music City. His journey started on the farm, like a lot of my pals that I spent a long time in Music City with it, myself in writing rooms. Dear friends, rest of my life, started out on farms. He started out in central Illinois, led him straight to the heart of Music City. Just like a lot of my pals, he didn't take long to start delivering on his dream. He was raised on 90s country radio. He grew up knowing exactly what he wanted to do, and that was Nashville. In 2010, he made the move, chasing that vision that would eventually land him writing for my former group, where I was on my record label days, Universal Music Publishing Group, and crafted songs for some of country's biggest names, names like Kenny Chesney, Dierks Bentley, Zach Brown Band, Luke Combs, Cody Johnson. I can go on and on, but you get the point. He reached a major milestone with his first number one, Knowing You, recorded by Kenny Chesney, a song that also earned a nomination for Song of the Year at the Academy of Country Music Awards. But beyond writing hits for others, he's doing his own thing. He's carving his own niche. He's doing his own independent deal like so many are doing. And he's blending modern country with that deep 90s influence that just hasn't left him. Recently releasing new music, including his 2024 album and singles like Before Summer Ends, Awesome. He is living proof that a small town dream can echo across the country and country radio and beyond and into your radio. And, you know, you stream these days. That's okay. Please welcome in the wonderful Adam James. What's up, Adam?
What's up, Steve? Thanks for having me, bud.
You're welcome. You got your big old beanie cold hat on now. Is it cold there in Nash Vegas?
You know, it was 70 last weekend and we played baseball outside, and now it's 25 right now.
So, and yeah. It's the same thing down here. We woke up at 19 degrees and we're going like 19, but it's going to be 72 tomorrow. So we'll golf weather. I left town in 2011. In 2006, I left Universal. It was Mercury, and then we merged, and all that happened. And all of that went down. Nashville looks to me more like Atlanta, or a wannabe Atlanta. It's, you know, you've been around for all of this crazy growth.
Yes.
You know, tell me, once you arrived, you're seeing all this craziness, and then when did Music City start to sort of match your vision and your dream? When did it start to work?
Well, I got a publishing deal, I want to say like a year and a half into my moving there, just because I was out every single night playing places, trying to meet people. I knew that's what I wanted. So Nashville back then was a smaller town, and I feel like those people were around more, and a fresh-faced 22-year-old or whatever I was when I moved to town was a little more rare than it is now. As far as, like, you know, coming to town, there might be a dozen people trying to do that. So now there's, you know, 1,200. So I jumped in, man, and I started writing songs, you know, with anyone that I could down here, and playing as much as I could. And as far as the expansion goes, like, it's definitely been crazy. my wife is a native of Nashville, and her family are as well, and they go back and back, and we have a, you know, somewhat heated conversation every now and then about, you know, what it used to be versus where it's going and all that kind of thing. And I'm just happy to be here, man. Like when you grow up in the middle of nowhere, like any city is exciting to you, you know, when it comes to a music town. And I've always seen Nashville as the place where the music dream can come true. So
sure.
I you know, it's really, I'm not one to comment on the positive or negative on the growth, just because it's where I'm employed, and I love it so much that it could be burning on fire, and I'd be like, hey, this is incredible, you know?
Because I
get to go and make music with people that are like-minded. So
let's back up for 1 second. I'm gonna do a little bouncing here, because my partner in crime was Mark Allen Springer for a long time.
Okay. Yeah.
He wrote Where Corn Don't Grow, Two Sparrows, yes, and a Hurricane, but his first, well, second number one would have been on Chesney, I believe.
Okay.
And he had a stack of numbers. I think he had 4 number ones on Chesney.
Wow.
We used to play basketball all the time. He was getting cuts right there in front of us on, like, I think it was a Tuesday night every whatever. And he was a great basketball player. He played at UCA back in the day. He was Mr. Arkansas in his class back in 77. He grew up in Wiener, Arkansas on a farm.
Okay.
I made him take me there because I didn't believe it existed. And I saw yes. Wiener. I saw the sign. And anyway, and a lot of my friends, and I'm sure a lot of your friends as well, come from farms. They come yes. from very, 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 very small towns where the sky is the limit, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Take me back to growing up. I mean, was there music around you? Were you the first to blaze this trail? And then when did it all happen for you?
I was definitely the first to blaze the trail. I always feel a little bit like a, you know, a black sheep in that scenario, but everyone in my family was so supportive as soon as I got into it. And I'll be honest with you, the first time I remember listening to country music, my dad would go and pick corn. We would grow corn and beans up in Illinois predominantly, and uh-huh. and he would spend, you know, 8 hours in a combine in the fall, and I would just get to ride along with him as a 4, 5, 6 year old, because I, you know, that it's incredible. The machine is so
huge,
and you're in charge of it, kind of. Yeah. That's how you feel. And he would always just have the radio on, man, and it would be Joe Diffie and Brooks and Dunn and Sammy Kershaw and Mark Chestnut, and, you know, the list goes on, Reba. And that was just such an influential time for me for many reasons. But the more I got into it, the more I started watching your CMTs, your TNNs, you would see music videos.
Back in that right? time, and yeah.
Back when they used to show the writers.
It was all on fire.
In the parentheses, you know what I mean?
It would say
Tim McGraw, Curb Records, written by C. Wiseman. And I'm like, who is that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Written by, produced by, right. In that
correct.
Order.
So
yeah,
that's exactly what started my interest.
And yeah, but you got to have some sort of like talent here. So
totally.
When did you pick your guitar up? And then what came first? I mean, like, were words so important to you, you know?
Yeah.
You know, were you writing poems before? Like, where did it start there?
It's funny. You're right. I mean, we all... You know, I say we all, but most of us grew up playing in church and singing in church. Mm-hmm. And that was obviously a super monumental moment for me as well, is when that whole thing started to happen. But it's funny because the first song I remember hearing that actually like made me cry was The Dance by Garth. And I was, yeah. I mean, when did that come out? Like 93 or something like that? I was 6 years old. Yeah. Why is that song making a 6 year old cry? You know what I mean?
It's like, because it does.
Exactly. And I'll never forget watching that music video, listening to that song and being like, that's the most like magic trick thing I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
So I initially got into country music because I loved the lyric. And then when I got into junior high, I picked up a guitar and I started playing music, strictly music. I was like, this is fun to play guitar. And never the two did meet until probably in college. I started writing songs.
Sorry, where'd you go to college?
I went to college at Southern Illinois.
Oh, you know, one of my dear, dear, dear friends is your basketball coach over there, Scott Nagy.
Okay.
He was at Delta State with me. He was a really great player. His dad coached at Illinois back in the Lou Henson days. He was always his assistant. And then wound up in South Dakota. We got introduced after all the years. Somebody was doing a charity event there, and he was the head coach. And then he ended up going to Wright State. And now he's at Southern Illinois. The Salukis. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, I love it. So, do you play sports there? Or are you doing all music? You just going as a student? What's going on?
I'm just going as a student. Honestly, I wanted to move to Nashville, but you know, me doing that at 18 versus at 22,
no, I get
it's
it.
it's a huge thing. So in a way, it was a stepping stone. You know?
Yeah, yeah,
and
sure.
It's about it was 2 hours south, and then I only had four to go once I got.
You know, were on the way
after college. Yeah,
I was you were on the way.
I
love
it. Was
it.
A pit stop.
Your car, yeah, yeah. Let's take a quick pit stop. Take a quick break. Adam James is my guest today, and looking forward to getting to know him even better and right in front of you. We're going to do a show together in South Dakota. So before I go even do that with him, I had to get to know him. Excited about that time we're going to have together and sharing songs and stories. Visit Mississippi.org. Check it out. We're rocking the culinary world right now. Michelin showed up, and I'm not talking about the tires themselves. I'm talking about the Michelin star. And even though we haven't got a star yet, we got a lot of consideration. So check it out, some restaurants in your neck of the woods. We'll be right back. I'm Steve Azar.
Your next customer is searching online right now. Will they find you or your competitor? If your website is outdated, slow, or hard to use on a phone, you could be losing business every day. SuperTalk Mississippi Media builds sharp, mobile-friendly websites that look great and work even better, and they're more affordable than you might think. We can drive customers to your new website with powerful radio commercials and targeted digital ads on Facebook, Google, TikTok, Hulu, and more. Call SuperTalk Mississippi Media at 601-991-2305 or visit stmmdigital.com.
America's 250th.
We're all alone in the river, and I don't know where.
Rolling into a Mississippi Minute. I'm Steve Azar with Adam James, hit singer-songwriter. Check his music out everywhere you steal music. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Everywhere you stream music, and which is close to that, but don't get me started. Visit Mississippi.org. I got Adam starting to lay down over there on the couch. Visit Mississippi.org. Check it out. So many wonderful things that scream our Mississippi. I grew up about 9 miles from where Jim Henson created those wonderful Muppets at Deer Creek, where so I can see it right now, sort of. Anyway, visit Mississippi.org. All right, Adam, I know I gave you cringes just then, but, you know, back when my first hits, when you get it on the radio, you're like, woo, and you know what that's like. So you get to see the difference between the two amounts that come flooding in and the other one that comes trickling in. It's an interesting thing, but you're getting, you're having hits on radio, so that's still pays like it always did.
Correct.
Who is your first co-write? If you did that, you know, co-writing was odd to me, but I had to do it, and I did it, and I had these go-tos at some point that felt so comfortable. Who was your first very comfortable go-to in Music City?
My first co-write that I really started digging into and going back to a lot was a fellow named Matt Rogers, who wrote a song for Cody Johnson called Till You Can't.
Yep.
And I knew him since 2000, I think 2010 or 2011. And that's, you know, before he had a string of number ones and I had some success too. But you find guys like that lock in and your thought process is the same. You see a song the same way, you lay in the plane the same way, and we just hit it off immediately. And you know, at the end of the day, we're all guys like Matt and I, we're all just trying to be Tony Lane, you know, in a certain sense. And
yeah, I get
and,
it.
And that Tony still has that effect on a lot of Music Row, at least a large portion of it. So yeah, Matt Rogers of Till You Can't fame for sure.
Yeah. You know, I ended up writing for Roger Murrah before Mark Allen Springer. I actually took Mark's seat, and it was myself and Neil Cody. There was a Randy Van Warmer before he passed. There was a group of us. And
Roger was my first publisher as well.
Get out of here. Unbelievable.
It was at Bug Music. Bug Music bought Murrah Music in 2010 or so. And so I got there in 2011. And then we sold to BMG.
So 2011, later, so. You're there. So you're in between me and Luke, because Luke Bryan was with Roger. So you must have came shortly after Luke.
I believe so. I think they bought his company like very shortly after I got there. You know,
we've gotten some stuff in movies together recently. I've had to reach out to Roger. I hadn't talked to him in a while, and I go, "Wait, what happened? You sold?" Anyway, it was good. Yeah. But there was one couch. Oh, it's not a couch. I didn't have a couch. I had a chair. I'd go in and see Mark before I signed with them. I was signed to another company, and I'd go in there to write with him, or I'd go write with Roger, but I'd go, Mark would be sunken in this chair. Like, it looked like he was dissolved. You had to hunt him down. It looked like he was so messed up. Like, where's the inspiration? It wasn't Mark's thing. So Mark grew up like you did on a farm. So he taught me how to leave the room, get out of there, go build something, go do something to get your mind off of being in this room, because during that period for me, I was just trying to get back out on the road because my band was always playing and I just wanted to make records and go and get back to it. And that was a tough time for me. Patience was hard. And I got a little stymie there. How best is it for you to write now? And do you need to get away and go into some open spaces like you grew up to let it happen?
I do. We moved out of Nashville about 30 minutes into the woods, and that's been a really big saving grace to me. And also, I have two kids that are 8 and 5, and that takes up a lot of my time. Awesome. in a good way, awesome. Right?
Yeah, like
putting your brain on other things. For a while there, I'm going to show you this picture. For a while there, I started painting. I would buy like boom boxes off eBay from the 80s, and I would spray paint them, and that became my my side hustle that made me interested in music again.
Get out of, let me see. Hold on. Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That is beautiful.
But wow. Yeah. And then everyone started wanting one. Like, I made this one for John Party, and this is great for the radio.
John can afford to pay for it. You know,
you know what I'm saying?
Wow. Get out of here.
Cool? Yeah.
I wish everybody could see this. That's unbelievable.
So I started doing that, and that's, you know, what happens with those is you finish it and it's done, if that makes sense. Like, to people not in music, like, it's so difficult to go write a song with someone at 10 o'clock and then you finish it at 4, and then that song is still working, right? It's and you're still working, you're still thinking about it, but there's really something about, hey, I made this piece of art and then I gave it to someone and I'm done with it. Like, it's like cutting the grass. It's like you look at it and it's finished, and there's something very final about that, and it's good for a creative, right?
I love to blow outside. I got these, mm-hmm. The big massive blower, and it's hooked to me and all that.
The backpack.
Yeah, I got the backpack. Yeah. I feel like Ghostbusters out there. But there's something about with us. It's interesting you're saying that. We need closure in something.
Yes.
And that's closure. Yes. Immediate closure. You're like, oh man, because we're so, everything's so undone a lot of times in our lives. We're always thinking. Are you at a point now, writing wise, where you don't wake up in the middle of the night and like, like that? Are you able to sit it down and then get to it and go, I can pick this up when it calls me to mm-hmm. when the pen calls me? I mean, you're a little more relaxed with it.
It's honestly, Steve, it's song to song. If I get that idea that I think no one's ever heard before that I'm going to change the world with,
like we all
do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't just put it down. It doesn't matter what time it is. It doesn't matter where I am. I could be watching, the World Series. I could be watching the Super Bowl. I could be at my daughter's dance recital. It's like,
so you're still there.
My mind is going to go there. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I will say, I'm not much of a, awoken from a dream kind of guy. I'm more of a, I'll be doing the most mundane thing ever, and then the greatest idea I've ever had will enter my brain, and I have to stop doing that thing and at least jot it down, right? So, I'm still in it.
That's good. Well, I was moving back after 2011. I was there 20 years. So, when we could move back, I wanted to move back to the Delta. Many generations back, and I just felt like I wanted our kids at the time were 15, 13, and 10.
Wow.
They had to all agree to leave all their friends in Nashville, which they were born and raised, and come here. And they all did. And now they're scattered all over the country. But the bottom line is that this place, I felt like they needed it. Like Nashville, they were sort of coexisting. It wasn't home for me. It wasn't home for my wife, who's from Arkansas. And so it really helped change their world, coming to a place that had such inspiration for me. Two of them are in the arts. One's a chef and one's a filmmaker. And then one in the middle is a doctor now. But the bottom line is
that's incredible.
They soaked it in, right? Well, they were raised by their mama, not me. I was gone all the time. But anything that they do wrong, I blame that on her too. Anything, hey, I wasn't around for that. Yeah. What are you talking about? You're about to get into You mentioned 8-5. That was so much fun. I mean, absolutely. It was the best time of my life. So you're about to really be truly inspired. As a songwriter, I felt like I didn't get it, even though I was doing it since I was 11 and doing it wrong a lot and all that. Mm. The bottom line is, once I had kids, you know, you thought that you'd become dated a little bit. Man, that's when I got inspired, and that's when I got better, and I had more to say. I don't know where the pressure was on, like, hey, quit messing around. Now you got to pay for these other people in your life that need things.
There's a lot of that.
For you, with having kids, was it a little bit of a switch flipping?
Absolutely, man. I think I described it to a lot of my friends that didn't have kids yet about it's like when you go into Excel or something and you hit like auto align on the spreadsheet and it just snaps it to the grid. And that's how it felt with kids for me, because my day-to-day schedule would be so scattered and my brain would be so scattered. And then just because I didn't know what my priorities were, right?
Yeah.
It's like, is that more important than this and blah, blah, blah. And then you have kids and it's like, this is the most important thing. And then everything autofiles after that. And it was such a healthy thing for me, because once you have that alignment, it's easier to focus your energy on the right things. And also, it's great to have timelines. Like, as a creative person, it's great to say, hey guys, I got to leave at 4 to go pick my daughter up.
Yeah.
I can't hang out until 9. So we can just, you know, screw around and maybe, you know, go to the bar or maybe go to lunch or it's like, I've got 5 hours.
Yeah. Let's get it done.
Let's get it done. And that, for, like I said, for a creative person, a timeline is everything.
You know? It is. And you know, that's very, very interesting. You say that. I agree with that. Let's take a quick break. Adam James, hit singer, songwriter, check his music out everywhere. You stream, you listen, you download. It's available everywhere. That album from 2024 is out. He's making his own music now, not just making hits for the rest of the world. Visit Mississippi.org. Been making hits forever. Think B.B. King, 100 years. We just celebrated his life. We'll be right back. I'm Steve Azar.
$20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guarantee Bank. They offer programs like the Homebuyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guarantee Bank, member FDIC.
Your next customer is searching online right now. Will they find you or your competitor? If your website is outdated, slow, or hard to use on a phone, you could be losing business every day. SuperTalk Mississippi Media builds sharp, mobile-friendly websites that look great and work even better, and they're more affordable than you might think. We can drive customers to your new website with powerful radio commercials and targeted digital ads on Facebook, Google, TikTok, Hulu, and more. Call SuperTalk Mississippi Media at 601-991-2305 or visit stmmdigital.com.
From the Seabrook.com.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
We're rocking into a Mississippi Minute. Adam James, hit singer, songwriter, Zach Brown, Dirks Bentley, Luke Combs, Cody Johnson, Kenny Chesney. I can go on forever, or at least way more than this Mississippi Minute's going to allow us. Just excited to have him on today and get to know him. As you can tell, down-to-earth dude. He sounds like he's from Mississippi as far as I'm concerned. I'm hoping he's saying that I sound like I'm from Illinois, even though I look like I'm from New Jersey. But another story there, visit Mississippi.org. Check it out. Big believer, plan a road trip with your loved ones. And as I always say, if you don't have a loved one, you might find a loved one on your road trip. Just comb through Mississippi. All right. My old farmer pal here grew up in Illinois, and he's tearing up Music City. He looks at peace. I wish you guys could see him. You won't see him. because I haven't gone visual yet, because I've got, I just don't want to get dressed for everybody in the morning. I get to get dressed all the time. But 90s was a big influence. Okay, our pal, mutual pal, Jeffrey Steele and I have known each other for a lot of years, watched all his success happen. We did shows together in our day. Anthony Smith, Wynn Varbal, Don Sampson, Moose Brown. Moose and I did the Bob Seger tour together for a year. We're all really good pals. We've been on stage together a bunch and all that. Let's talk Jeffrey Steele. What an influence. But you guys did some work together with Three Ring Circus Music.
Yes, what sir. Was it? Jeff was my publisher for 6 years, and I still my greatest mentor in Nashville as far as just length and spent with someone, and also just, you know, he was, like I said earlier, him and Craig Wiseman were the two guys that when I moved to Nashville, even before I moved to Nashville, they were the radio, you know, like they informed so much about what I knew about writing songs without
all over
even studying him.
Every other song.
and then, you know, and then you get to actually know them personally and you see their work ethic, man. And I'll tell you what, like both guys being in the Hall of Fame, and then by the time I met them, right, in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and they're still showing up every single day and spending
it's their life,
5 to 10 hours doing this thing. And I'm like, y'all don't have to, but you get to, right? And it's that's how they treat it, and that's the best lesson I could have learned upon moving to Nashville.
I want you to think about something right now, that you come there and then they see this talent in you, Adam. I mean, that's insane. That's how I can tell you this. There's no charity with our guys. The charity starts when they know you're really, really talented, and then they're going to give you this knowledge and help you develop into what they know that you can become. But man, what a talent the good Lord has given you, because there's no way they even look at you. I mean, you know, they'll be nice to you and they'll sign an autograph for you. But
that's right.
But
that's
and I love that. And obviously Craig's from Mississippi. You know, he's jewel, you know?
Yes, sir.
Unbelievable. So you guys spent 6 years together. How many hits are you having during this period? Were you having any, were you with Roger first? So Roger,
Roger first, that was honestly, you know, I'm so green at that point, just showing promise. I wrote everything 100% by myself. So that, you know, to a publisher back then, especially, they're like, okay, we can work with this. And then a bunch of songs got on hold from that deal, but I didn't have the big domino fall. But once I got to Jeffries, we had a song, my first cut ever was with Dirks, and that record was huge. And then my next cut was with Kenny Chesney, and then that song went all the way and got all the accolades and stuff. So
did you write
my
Dirks
first big win?
You've been writing a lot of this stuff by yourself. Are you still
no, sir. I wrote those songs with other folks, but just, you know, getting my first deal, I walked in with, you know, 15 or 20 100% songs that they could run around with. But I have started revisiting it the last year or so and writing a lot solo again. And, you know, it's inspiring. It truly, if you want to show someone what you can do, like, don't show them a song you wrote with four other guys, like show them what you did by yourself.
No. Listen, when I wrote Waiting on Joe, it was alone. And so that changed my, that, you know, with Keith Stegall, I think when he signed me, that was a big moment, because, I felt like they needed to know that I came to town doing it alone. And then just get in this thing, and I loved it. Right. But then, but then when I moved back home, I have not written. Everything's been by myself. I'm back, and I love it, and it's on my own time and all that. And so it's just a lot easier on my throat. I went through throat surgery in 2005, so I know how to manage that now. But and how much I need to tour during the year. But I just finally, for the first time, so in 2000, it was 14 years, I had to write one thing with James House. James House and I wrote probably 50 songs together when we were together. Big part of each other's life. And then it's been that long, and for a particular project we had to do it. And then Marty, who hooked me with you.
Yes.
Marty Dotson and I, the other day, we wrote two songs in 2 hours. So we did it via Zoom, man. Isn't she cool?
Marty is so prolific like that, man. It's wild. That's another person that I wrote a lot with early on.
She loves you.
And man, it was, you know, once you point the navigational beacon to something, like she's already there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like she'll just sit down and type and then she'll turn it around and be like, well, I was thinking about this. And it's like,
yeah. You know what I did? So I'd written the verse and the course and all this. I had a course, mm-hmm. but I said, I am not letting her hear my course because yeah. I needed her to do that. So she has a really good soaring yes. thing and I'm just not going to show it. And I was really tempted to show it. And I said, no, don't do it. And man, I'm glad I didn't, because what she did there, where she went melodically, like mm-hmm. you just said, was so much better than where I was. And it was just so different. And yes. it needed to be different, because my wife will go, I'll be working on something, and she goes, hey, that's really good. Why don't you try to do something different melodically? Like, you know, just jabs me, you know? And yeah. I'll go, God, dog it. So I got to go to the piano. So that always sets me free a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. just to do something melodically different. But we get a little stuck in our ways, you know, and it's almost like that it just doesn't end up like it deserves to be. So it was good.
That's exactly right. That's the devil's advocate side to writing by yourself. Plus, yeah. you know, collaborating is, you know, sometimes it's not what maybe you thought it was going to be, but sometimes mm-hmm. it's even better than you could ever imagine. Right. When you're collaborating with someone, and I still think it's so special when that aligns like that.
You've talked about mentors and all that. Let's talk about ACM Song of the Year nomination. Sure. When you find that out, what's that feel like? I mean, did it feel anything like you imagined, or did you just go, okay, great, I got to get to work on the next thing?
I was, you know, as a person who grew up watching that show every time it came on, and CMAs as well, it's very surreal, and it's very gratifying to achieve that. And I also have to say, I wrote that song with Brett James, who is another one of my biggest mentors.
We
lost, you know, 6 months ago or so. Mm-hmm. And so that song has kind of taken on new meaning as it's lived, and it will continue to do so. And it was just an incredible moment, man. You get to go to Vegas with someone like Brett, who's, you know, like I said, when I moved to town, like if I was to make a Mount Rushmore of Nashville songwriters,
he's
one of them. It would have had Jeffrey, it would have had Craig. And so it's so incredible. I sometimes have to pinch myself that even happened, you know?
It was
very special.
Well, you're the last one to have a song up for the Academy of Country Awards before he passed.
That's right.
I always loved Brett, man. He was a really good dude. We always got along really well.
Yep.
It's funny that we only wrote once together. And we were both doing the artist thing, and then he ended up doing just the writing thing. And so we just didn't reconnect, but I went back and found it and listened to it. And he's in the room with me, and we just were doing a work tape.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, it you know, made me really sad, you know, to think that he had so much left, you know?
Absolutely.
Anyway, that's heartbreaking and all that. Yeah. But you were part of his big lure and big history. It just says so much about you, Adam, that, you know, you were born to do this. I know how hard the work you put in and the work you're continuing to put in, but man, the gift sure had to be given to you. And it's even though it's not in your DNA, it was put in your DNA and inserted somewhere on that farm,
right.
somewhere Correct. On that farm, and gave you this incredible work ethic. We, you know, where I live in the Mississippi Delta, a lot of our dear friends, it's farming, man. It's the Mississippi River here to my left, and to the right, it's all my farmer pals. And they've been very influential on me and their dads, how hard they've worked. And I've never seen anything. It's the hardest work in the world with no reassurance at all. The greatest gamblers in the world. Nobody compares. They did DraftKings or whatever that is for farmers. You couldn't keep up. It'd be the craziest thing. Let's take one more quick break, and we got a short segment. Adam James, check his music out, folks, everywhere you stream, download, so he can feel like that this interview mattered at all. He's an incredible artist, but obviously making big hits for big artists that you are used to having in your house on a daily basis. Visit Mississippi.org. Check it out. Very important. Big part of my life for the last 9 years as your music and culture ambassador of the hallowed ground we call Mississippi. We implore you to do that.
$20,000 available for first-time home buyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Home Buyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant, that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guarantee Bank, member FDIC.
Your next customer is searching online right now. Will they find you or your competitor? If your website is outdated, slow, or hard to use on a phone, you could be losing business every day. SuperTalk Mississippi Media builds sharp, mobile-friendly websites that look great and work even better, and they're more affordable than you might think. We can drive customers to your new website with powerful radio commercials and targeted digital ads on Facebook, Google, TikTok, Hulu, and more. Call SuperTalk Mississippi Media at 601-991-2305 or visit stmmdigital.com.
I feel more Buick.
Lizzie's busy mapping way back to L.A. to get herself.
I don't know what I said at the end of that, but you know me. I'm sort of sideways. Visit Mississippi.org is never sideways. Check it out. My guest today is Adam James, and I've been doing this show for 9 years. What started out as a moment with my friends at Super Talk. As a sort of a joke, has lasted 9 years, and I've been so grateful I get a chance to meet folks like Adam, and it keeps me in touch with the new generation of great hit songwriters and artists, and this guy is one of them for sure. Adam, let's talk about your records. Let's talk about, you know, now you've got your songs, and you're doing all that. Now you want it to be about you as well. How much of that are you putting into it, and how serious are you?
Well, I think, you know, everyone that moves to Nashville has a little bit of that that dream of being the next thing, right? And the more that I started writing songs, the more that I realized that my thing was words. And I love to go and perform. I have a lot of like a lot of the songs that I've written for people that have had success are very, very deep and very meaningful. And I've also got a lot of stuff on the side that is the polar opposite of that, and people like Wynn Varble, right? Like we do shows together a lot, and
polar opposite and of everybody.
And we just play the funniest songs anyone's ever heard. So
yeah,
that's actually the thing that I'm leaning into the most next is a project that I have called Fort Worth Ferguson, and it's all my funny stuff. I'll have to send you a Dropbox of it, but
I got it.
You know, whenever how this is, whenever you try to go in and write the deepest song anyone's ever heard, or the most meaningful song, or the song that's going to make someone cry every single day. And then it's just so taxing on everything to pull from a well that is that deep. And for me, it was just a life-saving situation creatively where I could go in and be funny. And guys like Jim Beavers are in that too, that I do some funny stuff with and win. And so anyways, it's a curveball, but it's also something that I enjoy so much because it allows me to exist in another space.
Have you spent time with Moose? He's doing this alter ego thing. Have you seen that thing he does?
What's his name? Donovan.
Yeah. Something Donovan. What is it?
I only see Buddy Cannon post about it.
It's so funny. I mean, he's got Alison Krauss. Everybody's people are there. Like it's serious, right?
Yes.
And I think that freaking Don, whatever his name is, got a deal. Like, got a real record deal. And I go, Moose, you've never had a record deal, but this alter ego of yours got a record deal. How do you even do the contract? You know, we need to laugh. And you bring up Wynn. Wynn's the only person that I've ever been around that gets away with. I mean, the politically incorrect thing, you know?
Correct.
Like, how does he do it? I mean, like, he's got the old shucks thing, you know?
Yes.
So it feels like whatever, but he's the funniest guy. And I don't know if I've ever had more fun when I do these songwriter things with him. I hate to say it. It's just like, I'm boring. And we're all boring. I mean, he's so funny.
I have a running joke with Wynn where I always have to ask him, I'm like, where were you 9 months before January of 1987, you know, I'm like, did you happen to be in the Illinois area? Like, are you, you know, is there a chance that you are, you know, associated? We're so alike in so many ways. Like
so
that.
You're the new generation of Wynn Varble. We're that's a good thing.
I would love to be considered that, but he's another one of my really close friends. We watch a lot of Tennessee Vols football together, and he's just a
Tennessee gym, has a football team. Person. Tim Sands Mimosa? They do?
They used to.
No,
they
I'm kidding. I know they do. I'm a big, you know, we're big Manning fans down here. I grew up on Archie, and man, when I was a kid, you know, it was, Archie was just, you know, grew up about 35, about 40 miles from us, and I mean, just the impact the Mannings have left on football is just insane.
I really think
Arch is really getting it now. He, unfortunately, yes. Arch can't do what his uncles did because he's got Archie in him, which is he's got legs.
Yes.
And he's going to fortunately have to use them. I think last year at the beginning, they were trying to keep him in the pocket and trying to keep him from getting hurt. But if he doesn't use the wheels, then it probably it leaves him sort of half in. You know what I mean?
Like yeah,
his glass is half full. So I think he's figuring it out. For you, like touring wise and stuff, do you get a chance to get out or is it more the songwriting thing with your pals?
It's more the songwriting thing, which I really enjoy doing. I did a lot of them last year. We went everywhere, man. We started in Jersey on the shore at the Barefoot Country Festival, and then we went to Key West, and then we went to Colorado. I did Sundance this year with the Bluebird. I did
awesome.
Something up in British Columbia, which was gorgeous. Just a little bit of everywhere, man. Just doing the stuff where you know you play around and you bring Nashville to people,
right?
The world, right? So it's a thing that some people might not be familiar with, but by the time it's done, 90 minutes later, or whatever it is, they're wondering when they can see it again and how they can.
Oh, no. And they want to see you again, which is awesome. Well, you go do your thing. I'm looking forward to September together. And it's been really great to get to know you, pal. And bless you. And apologies. You're forgiven for calling me sir this whole show. I'm going to go lay down. I'm going to go throw up right now if I can. I know what's happening. I know the difference in the age.
Oh, sorry.
All right, buddy. No, I'm kidding.
That's how bless you and your family.
Yeah, I know. Bless you and your family and bless your kids. And you go and soak them in.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Adam James, folks, check him out. Please check him out. You promise? Visit Mississippi.org as well. I'm Steve Azar later on.
I'm Steve Azar. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them, where you can take your sweet time.
There's a ton of content from Super Talk Mississippi on our new YouTube channel. Just search Super Talk Mississippi on YouTube or go to supertalk.fm/YouTube. Be sure and subscribe for free to get the latest scoop on what's happening in Mississippi news, politics, sports, and the good things happening here in the state. A Super Talk Mississippi media production.